Thank you. We're glad you're listening this morning, and we do pray that God would really bless you as you listen to another portion from His own precious Word. We would like to invite you to come to the church services at the Independence Baptist Church this week. We have our Sunday school beginning this morning at 10 o'clock, and then our morning worship at 11, and then tonight services at 4 o'clock with our prayer service, and then 4:30 for our evening worship. And then Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. for our evening worship. We invite you to come to these services. We'd also like to invite you to check out our church's website. You can go to www.independencebaptist.org. That's all one word, independencebaptist.org. And check out our website. There's a lot of interesting material there on that site. Also, if there are questions or comments that you have concerning this radio broadcast, the things that we believe at the Independence Baptist Church, I'll be really, really glad to talk with you about any and all of those things. You can contact me by writing to the Independence Baptist Church in Forestdale, Missouri, and I'll be glad to get back with you on any and all of those things. This morning, I'd like to think on the subject, the faith of Daniel, and read the book of Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. The Bible said, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." This story that we're going to relate to you this morning in this message is often considered a child's story. It is often considered to be one of those little stories that we can tell children to encourage them in serving and being faithful to God. But I want to tell you this morning that the Bible says that all of the Old Testament is an example to all the believers. It's even an example to us who are adults. Notice here that Daniel had great faith in God. Daniel had such a great faith that he was willing to give his life for the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice two things in particular in this verse. That's the first part of verse 10 and the last part of verse 10. The first part of the verse says this: "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," and then the last part of the verse says this: "and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." These verses teach us that Daniel is going to continue in the things of God even if there's opposition. And he continues to give thanks before his God regardless of the situations and the circumstances around him. Well, what are the circumstances? We'll find here in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 1 that Darius is the king of the Medes and the Persians after the 70-year Babylonian captivity. And Darius has set 120 princes over the whole kingdom. And then over all of these 120, Darius has set three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. But you see, there was a little problem. Because King Darius liked Daniel and knew that he was doing a great job. Notice in verse 3 that Daniel was preferred above the other presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was found in him, and the king was thinking about setting him over the entire realm. And because of this, the 120 princes and the two presidents, they were going to find a fault in Daniel so that the King Darius would never set him over them. Well, they looked, and they looked, and you know they couldn't find anything. But you know one thing that I think is important to notice right here is that Daniel was an employee of the government. Not only was he an employee of the government, there was only one step between Daniel and the emperor himself. So we find this, that Daniel was a high official in the government of the Medes and the Persians. And this teaches me this very important point. It is not wrong for Christians to be involved in government. Now, just kind of let that settle in your mind just a little bit. You know, when I was being raised, it was taught me that Christians would have nothing to do with government. Now, I know that was wrong, but that's what I was taught. I hope you weren't taught that, but I was. But you know, when I read the Bible, I find that oftentimes there were godly men that were involved in government. And here Daniel is a man who is involved in government. You say, well, is it a Christian government? It's the government of the Medes and the Persians. What do you think? But not only that, you think about this. Daniel was also an official in the Babylonian government. And the Babylonians were a long way from being Christian. They were fully paganism. But Daniel had much to say and much to do with the conversion, with the salvation of Nebuchadnezzar. And he was the first emperor of the Babylonian kingdom that we find in the Bible. Now, as we think about Daniel in the government, we also find this, that he was a very, very honest man. The Bible said in verse 4, "Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom." So these people that were against Daniel looked in all the things that Daniel had done, but they could not find anything that he had done wrong concerning the kingdom. In verse 4, "But they could find no fault nor occasion against him. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." So here the enemies of Daniel have sought to find out an error and could not. So this teaches me this. In our everyday life, in the experiences of our everyday dealings with our jobs and with our employers and with whoever that we deal with, we should be the kind of people that are honest and upright and wholesome and good, and that when people began to examine the things that we do in our everyday life, they would say, "I find no fault in him." That is what the judge said about Jesus Christ. And we should be like Jesus in that respect. Absolutely, that is so. These 120 princes and the two presidents went before Darius, and they decided that they would have Darius to sign an agreement in the law of the Medes and the Persians, which never changes, stating that if anybody asks anything of any god or man in 30 days, except asking Darius, that man would be cast into the den of lions. And of course, they flattered Darius into this agreement, and Darius signed it in the law of the Medes and the Persians, that it changed not. And that's where verse 10 of Daniel chapter 6 comes in. Because the Bible says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house." Listen, when Daniel knew that he was going to be cast into the den of lions, Daniel went into his house, and his windows were being opened toward Jerusalem. Listen, Daniel did not close his windows and pray in private when he knew that it was going to be a public offense. But instead, Daniel left his windows open like they were always open. Daniel went before his God as he always went before his God. He kneeled on his knees and prayed and gave thanks unto God 3 times a day, just like he always did, even though he knew he would be cast into that den of lions. Daniel was a man of much faith. Let me ask you this question. How many lions were they? I have seen pictures of Daniel in the lion's den. I'm sure you have too. And in these pictures, Daniel is either standing, looking piously up to heaven, or he is sitting reading a book, or he is sitting praying, or perhaps in one picture, he is asleep. And there's about 2 or 3, maybe 4 lions sitting around Daniel, and they're just sitting there, being real calm and collected. Well, how many lions were they? Really, how many lions were they? I want you to think about this with me just for a second, and I want you to see the faith of Daniel, because he was going to stand regardless of being cast into the den of lions. Notice, at the end of the story, in verse 24, the Bible said that after Daniel was cast into the den of lions, and after the lions did not eat him up, that King Darius brought all of those men which had accused Daniel. Now, how many men did King Darius bring? The Bible said he brought those men that had accused Daniel. And we find that there was 122 of these men. So, well, how do you know that? Well, there was 120 princes and two presidents. So there was 122 of these men, and they were cast into the den of lions. Not only was the men cast in there, but the Bible says that their children and their wives were also cast into the den of lions. If we take this 122 people, men, and we think that they had a wife, and then they had two children apiece, that would make 488 people that were cast into the den of lions the next morning after the lions did not eat Daniel. Now notice what the Bible says concerning this. The Bible said in verse 24 of Daniel 6, "And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den." Now this tells me this, that if there were these 488 people and they were cast into the den of lions, that there was enough lions to break all their bones before they ever got to the bottom of the pit. Now we go back to Daniel. How many lions were in the pit? Now there must have been a lot of lions. I'm thinking easy 500. I'm thinking easy maybe 1,000. The king would use these lions for defense of his nation. And for punishment of evildoers. And there were many, many lions. And Daniel, when he knew that he was going to be cast into the den of lions because he was going to go ahead and pray, that's exactly what he did. Daniel said, "I am going to pray to God. I am not going to stop doing what God wants me to do because there's a threat against my life." The question is this: how many times have we backed up, speaking of the things of God, because we do not want to be embarrassed? How many times have we backed up speaking of the things of God, the things of holiness, righteousness, and truth, because we don't want to be put in a position of loss? How many times? You can only answer that for yourself, because I do not know how many times that will be for you. I know how many times it is for me. But Daniel said, "I'm going to pray anyway." And here's the point that we want to see here. Did Daniel lose? Think about it. Did Daniel lose anything by being faithful and serving God? Well, you know that he didn't. You know that Daniel, when he was in the den of lions, the lions were not hungry. The Bible says that when King Darius came the next morning and he cried out and he said, "Daniel, are you still alive?" And Daniel cried back to the king and he said, "O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have no hurt against me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Daniel gained. And you know the fact is that you and I will gain when we stand for the things of God and do what God wants us to do. We will never lose. The devil wants us to think that we're going to lose. But listen, we need to stand even today. Listen as we close with this passage. The book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." It was the lion's den for Daniel, and it is the devil that is after us. May we be faithful to him, is our prayer. We see that our time is gone this morning. We thank you for listening and invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church.